Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danian Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, and he joins us courtesy of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Danian, what's going on, man? I hope you had a good trip to Las Vegas. Saw you out there. I know that you were hanging out with Mark McMillan a little bit, what's in store for this week for you?
Well, I mean, we got another home game like we had last week in Vegas, so this is good. So three consecutive home games. Coming around the holidays is pretty cool. So, yeah, last week was fun. Vegas is great. I feel like I needed an extra day. There's so much to do out there that it would have been fun to be there one extra day. But getting the win was optimum, and then coming back home and then obviously getting a chance to do the meet and greet with my former teammate, Mighty Mouse, Mark McMillan, was fun. So, yeah, it was great all around.
I'll ask you about players only here at the end. I know you got that coming up tonight right here on 96.5 The Fan at 6 o'clock. But it's Halloween. Are you – I know you got, your kids are older now, but are you in the Halloween? Bink was throwing out a hot take earlier that he says it's become Valentine's Day and it's not about the kids anymore and it's just couples dressing up, which I think is crazy. But where are you at?
Christian McCaffrey's dressed like the Tin Man. I'm telling you right now, Dayton doesn't do this.
I have noticed in recent years that it seems like more adults dive into Halloween and costumes than when I was younger adult and younger parents. So that dynamic has flipped just a bit, but my wife and I, we have dressed up in the past.
Yeah, I knew it.
He said the past.
But, we're not dressing up tonight, and we'll just be sitting out with the grandkids and all the kids in the neighborhood coming by. We got bags and bags of candy, so we'll be ready for it.
This way, Dayton's the man.
No, he just said he dresses up.
But not this year, he's not.
No, but he has.
Yeah, my last outfit, and I posted it on social media, was we were both dressed as referees, and we had sunglasses on with the sticks like we were blind. So we were blind refs. Mm-hmm. There you go. That was our last costumes.
I see barbershop. I wonder what he would dress like. I 100% know that. But Dana's the hardest working guy in broadcasting because he goes from the booth down there for interviews as well. Dana, you ever see anything like that? I know that these games in Vegas has been a ton of Chiefs fans, and I know they had a problem a couple weeks ago with the Steelers fans that just kind of overran the place as well. How bad of a situation is it in Las Vegas kind of cultivating that culture? Because you look at this vision, Danan, if the season stopped right now, three teams from the AFC West would be in the playoffs, not the Raiders. How big of an issue do they have?
Well, I mean, they're always going to have an uphill battle because of the location where they're at. They got 17 away games. I mean, whether they're playing as a home team or the visiting team comes and makes that a destination, just like the Chiefs fans came out. They had to pump in sound. When the Chiefs came on the field, there was a smattering of boos, and Mitch and I were looking around like, this is like 90% red jerseys in there. Who's booing that the Chiefs are coming on the field? So it was obviously manufactured noise, and they have to do that. I mean, that's just the nature of it. They understand it, and they have to live with it. I don't know if you can be a successful team. Maybe one year here or there you can be successful. But as far as consistently, I don't know if that's something that you can drum up in that atmosphere knowing that you're playing 17 away games. So it's unfortunate for them. It's fortunate for us. I do not have any mercy for them. It's cool. And as long as it stays Arrowhead West, I'm good with it.
Just two catches for Hopkins, but man, those two catches, I mean, I got excited, and I think Chiefs fans have to be excited about what is to come for D-Hop in a Chiefs uniform. Those were catches that, and specifically the one right before halftime, that we really haven't seen a wide receiver in a Chiefs uniform make in a while.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I thought he played well with his opportunities. There were times, and I'm fortunate being in the booth. I know the radio crew recognizes it, because every time we go to commercial or we have breaks and pregame, I'm pointing out things that maybe the general fan is not seeing or didn't see. And I noticed several times where he was getting open, and it's just a matter of time. So I don't know if it was more encouraging that he had those two catches and the nature of those catches and the drives that happened, or that he was open other times. And the way it'll go, guys, is that they looked at the film on Monday and Tuesday before they got into their game plan for this week. And I'm sure Patrick Mahomes, as well as Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, looked at it and said, you know what, maybe we went away from him a little quicker. Maybe it's a circumstance where he's, we got to look backside a little bit earlier. Remember that pass? And I mentioned this with Fesco and the guys on Tuesday, the incomplete pass that was thrown from the left hash all the way to the Chiefs sideline. It was a deep out by Xavier Worthy, and I believe it was Jack Jones that made the breakup. On the backside, he ran a really nice deep slant, kind of an in route, but deep slant, and he got leverage. He got pushed off a little bit, got separation. And I feel like that's going to be one of those plays that when they study the film, Patrick's going to be like, oh, okay, I didn't have to throw the ball 50 yards across the field to a wide receiver. He was open right across the middle of the field. So that's part of the growing process. So, yeah, I like the fact that he got ingrained in the offense. He looked comfortable. He didn't look confused. He got a couple of touches. They were quality touches in circumstances, but I was more encouraged with the times when I saw that he didn't get the ball, because I know that that's where they're going to move to. That's where the progression of this offense will go.
And that chemistry will keep building with Mahomes. We'll see that. I mean, they need him for the postseason. I mean, that was the whole Sammy Watkins thing. We need you in the postseason. And I truly believe the second season that D-Hop will be on that same page. Danen is a former wide receiver, someone knows this organization inside and out. The one thing he's got, and this isn't just saying it, this is true. I mean, the guy doesn't drop the football. Everybody does. But 2018, like, he had no drops, 3.6% drop rate in his career. Got the longest active streak in the NFL going. When you watch him, Danen, does this guy have arguably the best hands we've seen in Kansas City?
Oh, man. So I played with that Tony Gonzalez guy. I do have to give him the nod because of his growth, because his rookie year, he was terrible. And he even mentioned that in his documentary on the NFL Network. So he may be, like, the jury's still out on D-Hop. I think, you know, guys like he and Larry Fitzgerald, Chris Carter, those are the guys that come to mind that were hands catchers, strong hands, caught the ball in traffic extremely well, and were very dependable as far as hands are concerned. Like, I don't consider Randy Moss a guy that had great hands because he was a body catcher. And I'm nitpicking because these are Hall of Famers, but you get the drift. You get where I'm coming from. So for a guy that has strong hands, that trusts his hands, D-Hop is definitely up there. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he can be integrated more into this offense in that safe space for Patrick Mahomes. Like, we know Patrick is very comfortable throwing to Travis Kelce. He's very comfortable and growing with Noah Gray. He's very comfortable in situations of throwing to Samaje Perine out of the backfield and taking what the defense gives you. Now you have a wide receiver that can give you that component as well, and you know he's going to catch the ball. So it's going to be interesting. Once that true confidence, that true trust is really elevated, we might see a whole new, younger version of D-Hop, and it's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, I was just curious, Danen, what you thought about the receivers, because that's the one thing the Raiders are good at is pass defense. They were eighth in the NFL when the Chiefs played them last week. Like, that's the one area they're actually good at. So I was just kind of curious what you saw from the wide receivers as far as getting open, not having the contested catches, able to create space, because, again, that's what the Raiders actually do well.
Yeah, I mean, Raiders, I mean, they're not a terrible football team. They might be more dysfunctional than terrible, but at the same time, their defense, you know, they're solid, and they don't give up the big plays. And it was formidable. It was a formidable matchup, maybe closer than it really looked because of that last touchdown when we're in prevent defense. But you give them credit where credit's due. We still got to play them one more time, and I'm sure they're going to feel just like last year on Christmas Day. They're going to feel like that's another Super Bowl opportunity or spoiler opportunity for them. They played it well last year. They didn't play it well last week. And, you know, that's the recipe for success in this league, is beating teams that you're supposed to beat, regardless of whether you're at home or on the road. And that's what we did.
We're talking to Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. You'll hear him Monday night on 96.5 The Fan as well, with Mitch Kling and Dan Israel. Buccaneers, we know about the injuries, Danen, with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and so they're down to some young receivers right now. They still have Bucky Irving. What have you seen watching earlier in the year, and maybe even as you're getting prepped for Monday night, for this Bucs team that still put up points last week despite missing those weapons?
Yeah, they are a very well-coached team. They're a confident team. I will say that I'm surprised at their defense. The defense is not playing very well at all, pretty much near or at the bottom of the league in just about every statistical category, as well as special teams. So that's a little surprising. But offensively, when you lose those two type of playmakers at the wide receiver position for Baker Mayfield, that's like we talked about the Raiders having an uphill battle. Like, that's an up the mountain battle for any team, especially in the NFC South. So I feel like with the Buccaneers coming in, they lost two straight games. They don't want to lose three. Again, coming into this atmosphere on Monday Night Football, you know, they're going to have some extra incentive to kind of right the ship and get things going. But like they're kind of fractured. They're a fractured team right now, trying to figure out things. Now, I will say that, and I don't want to come across like having Mike Evans and having Chris Godwin would be a benefit to us, but I want to also alert the fans that it's not necessarily a true 100% benefit that they're not playing. And the reason why I say that is because when you have guys that you can game plan, that guys are familiar with, that you've played against in the past on the biggest stage, going back to the Super Bowl, like, you get to know them. They're going to make their plays. You know their moves. You know, you remember their releases. You remember how they ran their routes, et cetera. Now you have some people that are not necessarily on film to the point of being able to get all the tweaks and little inches and all the different tells that you have. So you're kind of playing against somebody new. And you guys have heard me say, the difference in talent, not saying that Mike Evans is equal to their next guy on their depth chart or vice versa, but the difference in talent is not as extreme as most people think as far as the depth chart in the NFL. So if there was a concern going into this game, is the unknown about their receiving core and then how we play them. But I have the utmost confidence in Steve Spagnuolo and Dave Merritt and his defensive staff that they'll have them prepared, but it is going to be a different dynamic.
You know, the one thing that they do is they're very good offensively. They're fourth in the NFL as far as total offense, but it's much different without Evans and without Godwin. Yeah. I will say this, they run the ball well. They're 10th in the NFL in running, but look at the Chiefs. Danen, right there, every week you see a star running back not get yards against this team, like Madison, 14 carries, 15 yards. I mean, if they're predicated on doing the run against the Chiefs, that's not exactly a good formula. The one guy that I think poses the problem is Kate Otten, the tight end, because the Chiefs have struggled against the tight end this year, and he has, well, he's their leading receiver with Godwin out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we definitely, and it's kind of one of those things that no matter how good your defense is, there's something that is going to give. You're going to give up something, whether it's to a tight end, whether it's the running game, whether it's a specific wide receiver, whether it's a big guy versus a small guy, et cetera. And we just have to prepare for that. Now, what we do have as far as a benefit for us is that we have a knack for forcing teams to get out of their game plan. Like, we can go back in the history ever since Patrick Mahomes has taken over. You can go game for game where prominent, well-established, tenured coaches, you knew for a fact that they did not practice all week for what they put on the field on Sunday or Monday. And so that's what we have as a benefit on our side. What we have to do, what I think we did better in these last couple of weeks, is capitalizing in the red zone, putting touchdowns on the board, and forcing those teams kind of out of their comfort zone. We are, as far as third down production on offense was second in the league behind the Buccaneers, who you mentioned.
two of their big
studs at wide receiver. So they're not necessarily the number one team anymore with those guys on the shelf. Red zone, we're getting better, but we're still not where we need to be. If we can put pressure on a team like the Buccaneers, that when we get in the red zone, we are automatically equating to touchdowns, especially with a guy like D-Hop, who can be that possession receiver in tight quarters down there going into the goal line, that will make us much more difficult to play against in regards to staying with your game plan. And so I can envision them saying, you know what, we got to put the ball in Baker Mayfield's hands, and whatever receivers are out there, we got to make it happen, because there's no way we'll be able to stay in this game against Patrick Mahomes if we're scoring touchdowns. So that's what I see, and that's kind of what I envision the rest of the season.
All right, Dane, and players only tonight, right? 6 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. What do you got in store?
Yeah, we're going to have some fun. We had a new little wrinkle to our show last week where I got some interviews with players from the post game. We did some diagnosis of that, and then obviously opened the door up for hot fire, spitfire takes. We allowed the listeners to chime in on that, so we had some fun with that as well. So I'll be in studio by myself, solo. We may have somebody that I'll call on the phone, but players only. We'll continue to rock and roll and be a part of this streak. So
you know what, Damon? It's going to be nerve-wracking for you, because it's once again two defensive interviews for you. Turk Wharton and Reed, being an offensive guy, yeah. I know how you feel about defensive guys.
Yeah, man. You know, hey, I got to take some Maalox or some Pepto-Bismol before the broadcast. And you mentioned Barbershop, what he's probably dressing up as. He's probably dressing up as an offensive guy. You know,
All right, Dane.
That's what you're a tight end or receiver.
All right, appreciate it, man. We'll be listening tonight.
All right.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.